felt his innards turn to ice. He smiled coldly at the astrobiologist. They are not our enemy, Harmon. And I can tell you that no matter how they are created, they are as human as you or I. Meek looked as if he were going to retort, then thought better of it and closed his mouth. Jordan looked to his brother for a word of support, some sign of understanding, but Brandon was silent, and he avoided Jordan's eyes. Contrary to any conspiracy theory, Jordan went on, trying to sound more certain than he felt, Adri and his people have answered all our questions. Thornberry spoke up, without telling us much at all. I've never had such lovely runarounds as their engineers have been giving me. Adri's policy, Jordan tried to explain, is to answer our questions with absolute honesty, but not to go any further than our questions require. Now what kind of mischief is that? Meek complained. He feels that contact between two alien races is a very delicate matter. He wants to be open and above board with us, but he won't feed us more information than we're ready to accept. So how in blazes do those energy shields work? Thornberry demanded. Almost grinning at the roboticist, Jordan answered, When you know enough to ask the right questions, they'll give you the right answers. Ah, it's all malarkey, that's all. No, it's not, Mitch. You should be seeking out their physicists and learning the basics on which their technology is built. I'd have to be a PhD physicist to understand them, Thornberry bleated. Then you'll have to learn physics from them, said Jordan. Back to school, then, is that it?
I think it is, said Jordan. For all of us. We have a lot to learn, and the first thing we must learn is how to ask the proper questions. Turning to Meek, he added, That goes for you too, Harmon. Instead of being afraid of these people, you should be trying to learn from them. Meek grumbled, They won't like the questions I ask.
But they'll answer them, Jordan replied. Unanswered questions. With obvious misgivings, Meek and Thornberry agreed to accompany Jordan back to the city the next morning. To Jordan's mild surprise, Brandon and Elise asked to go too. Jordan felt briefly uncomfortable until Brandon said, I'm the planetary astronomer, remember, Jordy? I've got a lot of questions to ask about this planet's formation and composition. And there's a lot of astrophysics for me to learn, Elise added. No human being has seen a white dwarf this close. It's the opportunity of a lifetime for me. Jordan agreed with a good-natured shrug, then looked down the table toward Longyear. What about you, Paul? Do you want to come with us? There are still lots of biology questions to be answered. Before the biologist could reply, Meek said, I'll ask the biology questions. It would be best if Paul remains here in camp. I'll stay in touch with him. Longyear tried to hide his frown of disappointment without success. And you, Sylvia? The fire answered, I've got plenty to do, sorting out all the samples we took and integrating our detailed map into the general planetary map we put together from orbit. Yamaguchi said, I'd certainly like to see their medical facilities. Later, said Jordan. There'll be time for that later. Tanya Vereshkova sat in silence, her pale blue eyes on Thornberry. The roboticist felt her stare and said to her, Tanya, my dear, you stay here and mind the robots. I'll check in with you regularly. She nodded glumly. Five of us go to the city, Jordan said to himself, and four remain here in camp. In time, we'll all move into the city. But we have to build trust first. He glanced at Meek, sitting next to Longyear. Funny fellow, Jordan thought. He's suspicious of Adri, filled with fears of a conspiracy against us. Yet he won't let Paul go with us. He wants to tackle the biology questions himself. Is it curiosity that's driving him? Or the old academic cutthroat competition? As the meeting broke up and Jordan started back toward the barracks tent, Brandon grabbed his arm. Jordy, we need to talk. Elise was leaving the dining area with all the others. The two brothers were alone. Brandon looked utterly serious, almost solemn. What is it, Bran? Resting his rump on the corner of the nearest table, Brandon said, Meek and the others are worried about your fitness to lead.
My fitness?
Looking unhappy, Brandon said, About your judgment. You know, with you sleeping with Aditi. He left the rest of the thought unsaid.
Jordan felt his innards turn cold once again. "My sleeping with the enemy," as Harmon put it. "Well, yeah. She's not our enemy. None of them are. How do you know, Jordy?"
"What harm have they done to us?"
"What are they planning to do?" Brandon countered. "Go to the city and ask them. They'll answer you truthfully. But not with the whole truth."
"They will in time."
Brandon shook his head. "Jordy, I think you should step down. Let Hazard or one of the others be in charge."
"My own brother," Jordan thought. "He's against me."
"Jordy, if you don't step down voluntarily, Meek's going to call for a vote, and you'll be forced out.
And once Meek's in charge, he'll pack us all up and head back to Earth with his tail between his legs," Jordan said. "Is that what you want?"
"No, of course not, but..."
"But what?"
"Don't let them humiliate you, Jordy. Step down voluntarily."
Jordy held his temper, barely. With deliberate calm, he replied, "Very well, Bran. I'll step down. On one condition."
"One condition?"
"That you take my place as leader of this Neolithic band." Brandon's jaw dropped open. A new regime. Jordan marched off to his own cubicle, steaming inside. "Brandon's gone over to Meek's side," he growled to himself. "My own brother has helped Meek and the others kick me aside." He was too angry, too hurt to even think of having dinner. Not in the dining area, not with all those others. Instead, he stripped off his clothes and flung himself on the bunk. Briefly, he thought of returning to the city to be with Aditi, but he realized that would only confirm the asinine fears of Meek and his ilk. As he lay on his cot, staring up at the shadowed dome of the tent, he wondered if he should let it come to a vote. Instead of obediently stepping down, why not have it out in the open? Who's for me and who's against? Then he realized that such a move would be foolish, divisive. It would tear their little team into two antagonistic groups. Unless they all vote against me, he thought. The idea almost made him laugh. Yes, it could be a unanimous vote against me. Even Brandon. Well, he told himself, at least I'll be free to be with Aditi and Audrey and leave the rest of these noble explorers to their own devices. But that's just what you've been doing all along, isn't it? He asked himself. You've been staying with Aditi and living in the city, and ignoring the people you were supposed to be leading. No wonder they want you out. It was inevitable. Strangely, he smiled to himself. I can't blame them, he thought. They're actually doing the right thing. His last thought before falling asleep was, and now I can be with Aditi full time. Jordan woke early and went to the communal lavatory to shower and shave. Thornberry was already there, standing by one of the sinks, washing his hands. He looked sheepish. Jordan, he began, I'm sorry about last night.
What did you decide?
The roboticist's guilty expression morphed into a puzzled little frown.
Your brother took over, by God. He told us you would step down, and he would step up. Just like that.
Thornberry snapped his fingers.
And Meek accepted that?
He did. He didn't like it much, but he accepted it when the rest of us started congratulating Brandon.
With an almost pleased smile, Jordan said, Harmon expected to be elected the new leader.
That he did, said Thornberry. But your brother saved us from that, thank the saints.
Good.
Almost reluctantly, Thornberry asked,
Are you still planning to go with us to the city this morning?
Why not? Jordan asked.
What else do I have to do?
After breakfast, the five of them clambered aboard one of the buggies and headed for the city. Brandon drove, with Elise sitting beside him. Meek and Thornberry sat together, and Jordan contented himself with the last row. They rode in an awkward silence through the cool, bright morning. Jordan sat back and admired the stately trees of the forest for a while. Then Meek turned toward him and asked,
Do you plan to stay in the city?
For the time being, Jordan replied easily. I have a lot of questions to ask Audrey and the others.
With obvious discomfort, Meek said,
What we did last night isn't a reflection on how we feel personally about you, Jordan. I hope you understand that. It's not a personal reflection at all.
Of course, Harmon, Jordan said cordially. I understand completely. Meek looked puzzled
As he turned back,